So first of all, I will read the chapter summary that was written in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That 10th canto, the part after chapter 13, was a combined effort of His Holiness Hridayananda Dasa Goswami, Gopi Puranadana Das, and my good friend Dravada Das. So first, I will read the chapter summary. Chapter number 59, The Killing of the Demon Naraka. This chapter tells how Lord Krishna killed Narakasura, the son of the earth goddess, and married thousands of maidens the demon had kidnapped. It also describes how the Lord stole the Parijata tree from heaven and how he behaved like an ordinary householder in each of his palaces. After Narakasura stole Lord Varuna's umbrella, Mother Aditi's earrings, and the playground of the demigods known as Maniparvat, Indra went to Dwaraka and described the demon's transgressions before Lord Krishna. Together with Queen Satyabhama, the Lord mounted his carrier Garuda and traveled to the capital of Narakasura's kingdom. On a field outside the city, he decapitated the demon Mura with his disc. Then he fought Mura's 7 sons and sent them all to the abode of death, after which Narakasura himself entered the battlefield on the back of an elephant. Naraka threw his Shakti lance at Sri Krishna, but the weapon proved ineffective, and the Lord cut the demon's entire army to pieces. Finally, with his sharp-edged disc, Krishna cut off Narakasura's head. The earth goddess, Prithvi, then approached Lord Krishna and gave him the various items Narakasura had stolen. She offered prayers to the Lord and presented Naraka's frightened son before Lord Krishna's lotus feet. After pacifying the demon's son, Krishna entered Narakasura's palace, where he found 16,100 young women. As soon as they caught sight of the Lord, they all decided to accept him as their husband. The Lord sent them to Dwaraka along with a great quantity of treasure, and then he went with Queen Satyabhama to the abode of Indra. There he returned Aditi's earrings, and Indra and his wife Sachi Devi worshipped him. On Satyabhama's request, Lord Krishna uprooted the heavenly Parijata tree and put it on the back of Garuda. After defeating Indra and the other demigods who opposed his taking of the tree, Krishna returned with Queen Satyabhama to Dwaraka, where he planted it in a garden adjacent to Satyabhama's palace. Indra had originally come to Lord Krishna after offering obeisances and begging him to kill Narakasura. But afterwards, when his business had been accomplished, he quarreled with the Lord. The demigods are prone to anger because they become intoxicated with pride in their opulences. The infallible Supreme Lord manifested himself in 16,100 separate forms and married each of the 16,100 brides in a different temple. He took up the required activities of householder life, just like an ordinary person, accepting various kinds of service from each of his many wives. So that was the chapter summary for this chapter. Now we will find the purports that was included and see what we can glean, anything further. And maybe we can find the answer to Bunky Bihari's question about the elephants. So here is the first purport. The Acharyas have explained in various plausible ways why Lord Krishna took his wife Satyabhama with him. Srila Sridhar Swami begins by saying that the Lord wanted to give his adventurous wife a novel experience and thus took her to the scene of this extraordinary battle. Also, Lord Krishna had once granted the blessing to Bhumi, the earth goddess, that he would not kill her demoniac son without her permission. Since Bhumi is an expansion of Satyabhama, the latter could authorize Krishna to do the needful with the unusually nasty Bhamasura. Finally, Satyabhama had been miffed when Narada Muni brought a celestial Parijata flower to Queen Rukmini. To pacify Satyabhama, Lord Krishna had promised her, "I'll give you a whole tree of these flowers." And thus the Lord scheduled this procurement of a heavenly tree within his itinerary. Even nowadays, devoted husbands take their wives shopping, and thus Lord Krishna took Satyabhama to the heavenly planets to get a heavenly tree, as well as to retrieve the goods Bhamasura had stolen and return them to their rightful owners. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti notes that in the heat of battle, Queen Satyabhama would naturally become anxious for Lord Krishna's safety and pray for the battle to end. Thus, she would readily give permission to Krishna to kill the son of her expansion, Bhumi. So that's the first purport in this chapter. And I am going through all the verses, see if there's another purport we can read. Already, we learned a few things to help us understand this chapter as we heard it from Prabhupada. Here is another purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhauma raised his invincible trident, and Satyabhama, sitting on Garuda with the Lord, said to Krishna, "Kill him right away." And Krishna did just that. So let's find another purport here. I think I'll do this kind of work more often, where we do the chapter and then also see what we can get from the actual Bhagavatam chapter purports. This is a very nice way of doing the Krishna book class. So in one of the prayers that Bhumi offered, here is one of the prayers. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Malane, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower. You are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and your glance is as cool as the lotus, and your feet are engraved with lotuses. So there's a purport. Queen Kunti offered this same prayer, which is found in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, verse 22. The synonyms and translation given here are taken from Srila Prabhupada's rendering of that text. We may also note that although Kunti's prayer occurs early in the Bhagavatam, she offered it many years after the incident described here. Let's see if there's any more purports that we can glean. All right. This next purport is also from one of the prayers of Bhumi. Tvangvai srikshur aja utkatang prabho tamo nirodhaya vivarshya sangvrita sanaya satvam jagato jagatpate kalat pradhanam purusho bhavan para. Desiring to create, O unborn master, you increase and then assume the mode of passion. You do likewise with the mode of ignorance when you wish to annihilate the universe, and with goodness when you wish to maintain it. Nonetheless, you remain uncovered by these modes. You are time, the pradhan, and the purusha, O Lord of the universe. Yet still, you are separate and distinct. Purport. The word jagata in the third line of this verse indicates that the functions of creation, maintenance, and annihilation are here mentioned in a cosmic context. The word utkatam indicates that when a particular function is being carried out, whether universal creation, maintenance, or annihilation, the particular material quality associated with that function becomes predominant. And here's yet another prayer by Mother Bhumi with a purport. Ahang payo jutir atani lo nabo matrani deva mana indriyani karta mahan it yakilang characharam tva yad vichye bhagavan ayang brahma. This is what is known as illusion. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, sense objects, demigods, mind, senses, false ego, and the total material energy. All exist independent of you. That is illusion. In fact, they are all within you, my Lord, who are one without a second. Purport. The Earth Goddess, in her prayer, directly touches upon the subtleties of transcendental philosophy, clarifying that although the Supreme Lord is unique and distinct from his creation has no independent existence and always rests within him. Thus the Lord and his creation are simultaneously one with and different, as explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. To say that everything is God without any distinction is meaningless, since nothing can act like God. Dogs, shoes, and human beings are hardly omnipotent or omniscient, nor do they create the universe. On the other hand, there is a real sense in which all things are one, for everything is part of the same supreme absolute reality. Lord Chaitanya has given the very useful analogy of the sun and the sun rays. the sun and its sunshine are one reality, for the sun is the celestial body that shines. On the other hand, one can certainly distinguish between the sun globe and the sun rays. Thus, God's simultaneous oneness with and different from His creation is the final and satisfying explanation of reality. All that exists is the Lord's potency, and yet He endows the superior potency, the living beings, with free will so that they can become responsible for the moral and spiritual quality of their decisions and activities. This entire transcendental science is clearly and rationally explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's see if there's any more purports. Alright, here's another purport. The verse, Tasyatmajo yam tavapada pankajam bitak prapanarti haro pasadita tat palayanam kudu hasta pankajam shirasya mushyakila kalmashapaham. Here is the son of Vamasura. Frightened, he is approaching your lotus feet, since you remove the distress of all who seek refuge in you. Please protect him. Place your lotus hand, which dispels all sins, upon his head. Purport. Here the earth goddess seeks protection for her grandson, who has been frightened by all the terribly violent events that just took place. Let's see if there's any more purports to this chapter. Here's another purport. Srila Sridhar Swami provides evidence from the sage Parashara, as quoted in the Vishnu Purana, to the effect that there were actually 16,100 royal maidens imprisoned in Balma's Paris. Kanya Puresa Kanyanam Shodashatulya Vikrama Shatadigani Dadrishe Sahasrani Mahamate. Within the maidens' quarters, O wise one, the Lord of unequal prowess found 16,100 princesses. Another relevant verse from the Vishnu Purana is as follows. Deva Siddha Suradi Nam Nripanam Cha Janardana Hritvahi So Suda Konya Rurudha Nija Mandire. The demon Balmasura kidnapped the unmarried daughters of demigods, Siddhas, Asuras, and kings, O Janardan, and imprisoned them in his palace. And let us see if there's any more purports to this chapter. Here is another purport. It is well known that material wealth and power tend to produce arrogance, and thus an opulent life can often be the royal road to hell. I like that one a lot. Let us see if there's any more purports. Here we go. The Sanskrit is Ato muhurta ekasmin nana gareshu tastriya yato payeme bhagavan tavad rupa dharo vyaya. This is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. Then, the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, assuming a separate form for each bride, duly married all the princesses simultaneously, each in her own palace. Purport. As Srila Sridhar Swami explains, here the word yata indicates that each marriage was duly performed. This means that the entire company of the Lord's relatives, including his mother Devaki, appeared in each and every palace and attended each and every wedding. Since all these weddings took place simultaneously, this event was surely a manifestation of the Lord's inconceivable potency. When Lord Krishna does things, he does them in style. So it is not astonishing that the Lord simultaneously appeared in 16,100 wedding ceremonies, taking place in 16,100 royal palaces, accompanied in each palace by all his relatives. Indeed, this is the way one would expect the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do things. After all, he is not an ordinary human being. Srila Sridhar Swami further explains that on this particular occasion, the Lord manifested his original form in each of his palaces. In other words, to take part in the wedding vows, he manifested identical forms known as prakash in all the palaces. And let us see if there's any more purports. Yep, we got one more. Here is the Sanskrit. Griheshu tasam anapaya atakrin nirasta samyati shayeshva vastita reme ramabir nijakama sampluto yate taro garhaka medi kams charan. Translation. The Lord, performer of the inconceivable, constantly remained in each of his queen's palaces, which were unequaled and unexcelled by any other residents. There, although fully satisfied within himself, he enjoyed with his pleasing wives, and like an ordinary husband, he carried out his household duties. Purport. The word atarkakrit is significance. Tarka means logic, and atarka means that which is beyond logic. The Lord can perform krit, that which is beyond mundane logic, and hence unconceivable. Still, the Lord's activities can be appreciated and understood to a significant extent by those who surrender unto him. This is the secret of bhakti, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. That is a very important sentence, so I'm going to repeat it for my own purification. The Lord can perform that which is beyond mundane logic and hence inconceivable. Still, the Lord's activities can be appreciated and understood to a significant extent by those who surrender unto him. That is the secret of bhakti, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the Lord was always at home except for when he had to go out to do ordinary household duties. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that since in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Narayan enjoys with only one goddess of fortune, and in Dwaraka, Krishna enjoys with thousands of queens, Dwaraka must be considered superior to Vaikuntha. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also quotes the following passage from the Skanda Purana. At that place, 16,000 gopis were assembled with Krishna, who was considered the supreme, the super soul, the shelter of all living beings. These gopis and his renowned 16 potencies, O goddess. Krishna is like the moon The gopis are like its phases, and the full contingent of gopis is like the full sequence of the moon's 16 phases. Each of these 16 divisions of gopis, my dear Varangana, is subdivided into 1,000 parts. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes further that from the Kartika Mahatmya section of the Padma Purana, those who were the daughters of cowherds in their early youth became royal princesses in their maturity. The Acharya adds, therefore, just as the Lord of Dwaraka is a plenary expansion of the supremely complete Lord of Sri Vrindavan, so his principal queens are full expansions of his supremely complete pleasure potency, the gopis. And let us see if there's any more purports. Nope, that's it. We have reached the end of today's class.